Amen. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we humbly approach thy throne of mercy tonight in the precious name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And believing, Father, that it is you who came down in this hour with a shout, which we know is a message, and that message is to prepare us for the rapture. Father, then help us as we take one more step in that process, as we approach thy throne of grace tonight. We pray that you would anoint the words which you have already anointed me in the study with, that you might anoint them to the hearts and minds of your people, and that I might get myself out of the way, that only that which you have for us to know would be spoken. Be with us, Lord. Be with everyone here, that they also might be able to possess that great gift of getting themselves out of the way, that truly we all might hear from thee tonight. For we ask it humbly in Jesus' name, and knowing, Father, that if they came just to hear me, then they won't receive anything, Father, that would help them. But, Father, if we've come to hear from you, then we know surely that you've made a way for us to hear, and that faith cometh by hearing the Word of God. And so, Lord, I just pray that you might help us in the service, help us to know the hour which we live, help us to understand in a greater measure this message, especially this one we're looking at right now, that who is this Melchizedek? For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Tonight I'd like to continue with this message of Brother Branham's, who is this Melchizedek? And we're going to read from paragraph 34 through about paragraph 40. Brother Branham said, now we find in the scripture that many people teach us that three personalities in the Godhead. So you cannot have a personality without being a person. It takes a person to make a personality. A Baptist minister a few weeks ago come up to my house and he said, I'd like to straighten you out on the Godhead sometime when you got some time. He called me up rather. And I said, well, I got time right now because I want to be straight. And we lay aside everything else to do it. And he come up and he said, Brother Branham, you teach that there is just one God. And I said, yes, sir. He said, well, he said, I believe there is one God, but one God in three persons. And I said, sir, would you repeat that again? And he said, one God in three persons. And I said, where did you go to school at? See? And he told me a certain Bible college. And I said, well, I could believe that. You cannot be a person without being a personality. And if you're a personality, you are one personality to yourself. You're a separate individual being. And he said, well, the theologians can't explain that. And I said, it's by revelation. And he said, I can't accept revelation. And I said, then there's no way for God to ever get to you because it's hid from the eyes of the wise and prudent, and it's revealed to babes. Revealed. Revelation. Revealed to babes such as will accept it and learn. And I said, there'd be no way for God to get close to you. You close yourself off from him. The whole Bible is the revelation of God. The whole church is built upon the revelation of God. There's no other way to know God, only by revelation. To whom the Son will reveal him? Revelation. Everything is revelation. So to not to accept revelation, then you're just a cold theologian and there's no hope for you. Now, there's a few things that Brother Branham said here tonight, and I'd like to begin by just saying that, notice he says that the whole Bible is the revelation of God. He didn't say the revelation of Jesus Christ. He didn't say the revelation of the Son. He said the whole Bible is the revelation of God. And the whole church is built upon the revelation of God. And there's no other way to know God, only by revelation. And to whom the Son will reveal, notice, him. God. Now let's stop here because, as I said, there are several statements Brother Branham made that need to be cleared up before we could continue, but I think that we'd be confused at this point. Number one, Brother Branham said, you cannot be a person without being a personality, and you can only have one personality per person. And if you're a personality, you are one personality to yourself. You're a separate individual being. Now, Brother Branham is making the case that God could not be three separate individual persons without having three different personalities. If God were three persons, as they believe, then each person in the Godhead would have to have a separate personality if he were a separate being or person. Now, I hope you can see his argument. So then, you know, in our minds, we think of, okay, what is the personality of the Father? And we see this white-bearded man, you know, and, well, what about the personality of the Holy Spirit? Well, we see this loving, you know, whatever they... In fact, they never really do show a face for the Holy Spirit, do they? See, they don't even put a body with them. They don't put, you know, they just... You see, they just don't understand. They don't understand. You cannot be a person without being a personality. And if you're a personality, you are one personality to yourself. You're a separate individual being. Now, Brother Branham is, like I said, is making the case that God could not be three separate individual beings. Now, the Trinitarian theologians would have you to believe that God is a committee of three, that the three work together in a unity to make up the Godhead. This comes from a sheer lack of revelation concerning the Word of God, and that will be our second point when we get to it in a few minutes. But first, let's look at this thought of each person having their own personality. Now, the word person, according to Webster, comes from the Latin word persona, which literally means an actor's face mask. And I think it's interesting because Brother Branham goes from this thoughts of a person and personality to the thoughts of a morph. And he defines that as being a face mask of an actor. See? So Brother Branham had it perfectly right on the dot. The word person, as I said, comes from the Latin word persona, which literally means an actor's face mask. Hence, a character or person, an individual human being as distinguished from other forms of life. Now, this then leads us to look at the word personality and see how different the word personality is from the word person and how its meaning differs from that of the word person. Webster defines the word personality as coming from a Latin word personalitas, and it speaks of the quality or the fact of being a particular person. In other words, those habitual patterns and qualities of behavior that distinguish one individual from another, giving each a personal identity and individuality from all others. So in other words, it's the habit patterns of those things you do, think, and say. See? Then we can say that the personality are those quality or traits, those attributes, which give identity or individual identity to a person. Now, from Ephesian parallel of Joshua, Brother Branham said, after Samuel had been dead for at least 3 to 5 years, and the witch of Endor called him up, and she fell on her face, and she said, you have deceived me because you are Saul yourself. And she said, because I see the gods. She was a heathen, you see. I see the gods rising up. And Saul couldn't see him yet, and he said, what does he look like? Describe him to me. Said, he's thin and he has a mantle over his shoulder. Said, that's Samuel the prophet. Bring him right here before me. I want you to notice that Samuel had not lost any of his personality. He was still a prophet. He told Saul exactly what would happen the next day. So you see, death does not come completely, or does not completely diminish us as we weep and wail and lament at the grave. It only changes our dwelling place. It takes us from a place to, what is an age? He says, what is age? If I live one more hour, I'll outlive a many 16-year-old persons. I'll outlive a many 5-year-old persons. Age is nothing. We're just set here for a purpose to do something. Well, I think it's interesting that Brother Branham says that your personality isn't going to change. Not if you're in the election of God and not if you're born again. Because what I've got is a born-again individual. Now, when I became born again, my personality changed. And we'll get to that toward the end of the sermon. It began to incorporate another personality. A dual personality. Now, Brother Brown said, you can't have two personalities. You're defined as a human being by having one personality. But I'm going to show you the duality of the nature here. Now, the question arises, can two persons have the same identical personality and yet be two individual persons? And the answer is no, or not entirely. They can share many of the same traits, but not all the traits. Thus, when we look at the Godhead or Godhood of God, the thing which distinguishes God from all others is that He is omniscient. Now, Jesus was not omniscient. He said, "No man knows the day or the hour except my Father, which is in heaven." He didn't know that. God, or the attribute of Godhood, is omniscient, omnipotent, which is all-powerful. Jesus said, "You know who I'm waiting for." Like Brother Branham said the same thing. He said, "I could call 12 legions of angels right now." You see, he had to have, and they weren't even his angels. His Father's angels. He was helpless unless God told him what to do, and then he acted it out. So we see a difference between the Father and the Son in their personality. One was all-knowing. One was all-powerful. And by being all-knowing, he could be everywhere at the same time. Omnipresent. Only in that he knew what was going on everywhere at that time. No other being, person or spirit being, has these attributes. Now, what distinguishes the Father from the Son is that the Son did not know all things. He said, "No man knoweth the time or the season except the Father." He said, "Father, deliver me from this cup. Take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but thine be done." You see? If he had all the power of heaven, he said, now notice, he said, "The power is given unto me." But he still had to seek the Father's will. Now, from questions and answers on Hebrews, part 1. Brother Branham said, "Now, the oneness teaching of the oneness church, I certainly disagree with them, thinking that Jesus is one like your fingers one. He had to have a father. And if he didn't, how could he be his own father? And if his father was a man, like the Trinitarians say, then he was born a illegitimate birth with two fathers." So you see, you're both wrong by arguing, see? But the truth of it is that both Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is one personality. God dwelling in a tabernacle of flesh to take sin from the world. That's exactly right. God with us. See? Now therefore, when we read in Matthew 28:19, he said, "Go forth and teach, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost." Now, if you remember, a few months ago, I showed you how the Father was actually in the Son, Jesus, as God the Son. In other words, God acting out the role of Son. You see? That's why Jesus, acting out that role, he said, "When you see me, you see the Father." Because he was the expression of what God was doing. See? Now, from questions and answers on Hebrews part 2, Brother Brown said, someone asked him, "Please explain the Trinity. How can the Son sit at the right hand of the Father, interceding to the Father, if they are not two persons?" Well, beloved friend, that's a revelation. If Jesus said, "I and my Father are one," then how can they be two? See? Now, they're not two. A woman once said to me, and I was explaining that, said, "You and your wife are two, and yet you're one." And I said, "But God and the Son is different from that." See? I said, "You see me? Yes. Do you see my wife? No." I said, "Then Father and Son's different." Jesus said, when you see me, you've seen the Father. See? The Father and the Son. The Father was Almighty Jehovah God dwelling in a tabernacle called Jesus Christ, which was the anointed Son of God. Jesus was a man. God is a spirit. And no man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten of the Father has declared him. He was his personality, his being, his deity, whatever he was God. He was nothing less or nothing more than God, yet he was a man. He was a man, a house that God dwelt in. That's right. He was God's dwelling place. So what you're looking at then is what personality was manifested to us through the Son. Whose personality? The Father's. The Father's. Because everything He did, He waited to be told to do. Everything He said, He heard from His Father to say. His actions, His reactions. It was God manifesting Himself in flesh. Now, from Sirs we would see Jesus. Now, Jesus was born for one purpose. That was for God to manifest Himself through that body. God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. He was a body that was made physical, that men and women could see what He thought and His expressions to the people in His gratefulness. And His attitude towards all mankind, He, God, expressed it through Christ. Christ seemed to be a dual personality. Now notice, Brother Branham doesn't say He was a dual personality. Brother Branham says He was a dual person. Right? He does make that definition. He was a dual being, Brother Branham said. But, Brother Branham said, when he refers to personality, he says, Christ seemed to be a dual personality. You see, if He had a dual personality, then He had two personalities. Now, how could He be on the one hand a dual being, and on the other hand, not be a dual personality? Think about that. Think about that. On the one hand, He is a dual being. God was in Christ. And I'll read you a few other, and then we'll come back to this thought again. He, God, expressed it through Christ. Christ seemed to be a dual personality. He would speak sometimes and they scratched their heads and they didn't understand Him. He'd speak one thing one time, look like, and something else another time. What was it? What it was Jesus speaking and then Christ speaking. You see, not two personalities, but the personality of one, Jesus, the Son of God, then the personality of the other, the God who dwelt in the Son. And the personality of the one, the Son of God, stepping out of the way and allowing the personality of God who was in Him to take over. Not two personalities from the one man, but two beings having a separate personality and the one giving way to the other. You see? Jesus didn't have two personalities, but there was two beings there. It was the Father that dwelt in Him. And so the Son would step aside. Notice, Father, I would that You would take this cup from Me. That's a personality coming forth. I don't want to suffer. And yet, but not My will, Father. My personality is completely in subjection to Your personality, to Your will. You see. Now, Christ seemed to be a dual personality. He would speak sometimes, they scratched their heads, and they didn't understand it. He'd speak one thing one time, just look like, something else another time. What was it? It was Jesus speaking and then Christ speaking. Jesus was the man, Christ was the God that was in Him. Not Me that doeth the works, but My Father that dwelleth in Me, He doeth the works. See, God will not share His glory with no one. Well, that's a pretty powerful statement. From the Balm in Gilead, Brother Branham said, you know, Jesus, right at the end of His ministry, His disciples couldn't understand Him. No one understood Him. How many knows that they couldn't understand Him? See, sure. Why? Why? They thought that He had a dual personality. Notice, the disciples thought that Jesus had a dual personality. Nope. No, He says, sometime it was Jesus talking, sometime it was the Father in Him talking. You notice how Brother Branham defines it between they thought it was a dual personality. He says, it wasn't a dual personality. There's two beings. Not one person having a dual personality. But because the Father was speaking sometimes, it was one personality. And the Son speaking another time. Notice, He was a uniquely born one. Now, if He's uniquely born, There's a uniqueness about him that no one else has. Right? Okay. They thought he had a dual personality. No. Sometime it was Jesus talking, sometime it was the Father in him talking. See? That was it, the man. So Jesus said, they said, now we believe that you know all things and no man needs to teach you. Jesus said, do you now believe? He said, then Brother Branham said, now, well, let's just sing it now. Now I believe, Lord. You've done enough. You give us the Holy Ghost. You give us speaking tongues. Now I believe. Now, from Patmos vision, Brother Branham said, the revelation showed that he is not three gods. Neither is he chopped up in three pieces. But he's one God that was God in the days of fatherhood. He was God in the days of sonship. He's God in the days of the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. The same God, not three different ones. Not three persons, not three personalities. He's one person, one personality. You cannot be a personality without being a person. Some people said, he's not three persons, but he's three personalities. You cannot divide that. Because if he's a personality, he's a person. It has to be a person to make a personality. So he is one person, one personality, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Alpha, Omega, he that was, which is, and shall come. Oh, he's just all of that. I love him. I love that. Now, before we move on with the next thing Brother Branham says here, notice. Who is it that's the same yesterday, today, and forever? What does it say in Malachi chapter 3, verse 6? I am God. I change not. Then, when it says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, which Jesus Christ? If it just said Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that scripture would be wrong. And let's clarify. And Paul clarifies it by saying Jesus Christ. Because Brother Bennett said it was Christ was the God that dwelt in the man. See? So it's Christ, it's God that is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It is God that is the Alpha. Oh, beautiful. How did God come in the Alpha? In a man, a prophet, a son. How did God come in the Omega? In a man, in a prophet, in a son. You see how Alpha has become Omega? Just taking on a different mask? You see? Now, Brother Branham goes on from the Patmos vision. He says, watch his nature. Let's just go back and read this again. Notice, you cannot divide that because if he's a personality, he's a person. Has to be a person to make a personality. So he's one person, one personality, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Alpha, Omega, he that was, which is, and shall come. Oh, he's just all of that. And I love that. See, notice, Jesus wasn't the same yesterday because he wasn't yesterday. Jesus had a beginning. You see? There's only one that was the same yesterday, today, forever. The same, always. And that's the unchanging God. See? Now, he goes on and says, watch his nature. That's the key. Watch his life, his works. It should be manifested right here in this tabernacle, just like it was in his day. Not saying this to be prejudiced. God knows that. Not only here, but across the world, I'm glad that it is. Then we know where we are standing because we have that same Spirit in us, moving with us and showing that He's here. It's not us, it's Him. We can't do those things, it's God. Besides that, in the scientific world, He permitted His picture to be taken with us, in us, around us, over us, through us, working in and out of us. Oh, how wonderful. I want to continue and look at the second thought that came forth from Brother Ram's first thought. And remember, he said, you cannot be a person without being a personality. And if you're a personality, you are one personality to yourself. You're a separate individual being. And then he said, the whole Bible is the revelation of God. The whole church is built upon the revelation of God. There's no way to know God only by revelation, to whom the Son will reveal Him. Now he says, now we find out that this person had no father, no mother, no beginning of days, nor ending of life. It was God, en morph. Now the word comes from the Greek word means change, was used. Changing himself, en morph, from one person to another person. The Greek word there, en morph, means it was taken from the stage act. that one person is changing his mask to make him some other character. Like in school, just recently, I believe Rebecca, just before she graduated, they had one of Shakespeare's plays. And one young man had to change his clothes several times because he played two different or three different parts, but the same person. He'd come out, one time he was the villain, and then he'd come out the next time and he was another character. And now the Greek word enmorph means that he changed his mask. And that's what God did. It's the same God all the time, God in the form of the Father, the Spirit, the pillar of fire, the same God was made flesh and dwelt among us, enmorph, brought out so that he could be seen. And now that same God is the Holy Ghost, Father, Son, Holy, not three gods, three offices, three acts of one God. The Bible said there is one God, not three. You can't get this straight out and have three gods. You'll never sell that to a Jew. I tell you that, one who knows better, he knows that there's only one God. Notice, like the sculptor, he hides a mask over it. That's what God done in this age. It's been hid. All these things has been hid and is supposed to be revealed in this age. Now, the Bible says that they would be revealed in the latter times. It's like a sculptor keeping his piece of work all covered over until the time that he takes the mask off of it, and there it is. And that's what the Bible has been. It has been a work of God that's been covered up. And it's been hid since the foundations of the world, and it's sevenfold mystery, and God promised in this day, at the age of this Laodicean church, he would take the mask off of the whole thing, and we could see it. What a glorious thing. God and morph, masked in a pillar of fire, God and morph in a man called Jesus, God and morph in his church, God above us, God with us, God in us, the condescending of God, up there holy, no one could touch him. He settled upon the mountain, and even if an animal touched the mountain, had to die. And then God come down and changed his tent. And he come down and he lived with us, become one of us, and we beheld him. The Bible said, 1 Timothy 3:16, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. For God was manifested in the flesh, handled with hands. God ate meat. God drank water. God slept. God cried. He was one of us. Beautiful type in the Bible. That was God above us, God with us. Now it's God in us. The Holy Spirit, not the third person, but the same person. God came down and become flesh and died the death in Christ so that he could clean the church in order to get it into fellowship, get into it for fellowship. God loves fellowship. And that's what he made the man at the first time was for fellowship. God dwells along with cherubims, and notice now, he made man and man fell. So he came down and redeemed man because God loves to be worshipped. The very word God means object of worship. And this that comes among us as a purifier, as something that changes our heart, that is the same God that said, let there be light. And there was light. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. From the message, why I am a holy roller, Brother Branham said. Why, I tell you, it means something then when a man who's really born again of the Spirit of God, he becomes acquainted, a personality of God is in him. When a man is born again, a personality of God is in him. Now think about that. Making you the same in essence, as a son of God. Only he had that personality of God, the full personality of God in him. We have a personality of God. For marriage of the Lamb, Brother Branham said, all that God was, he poured into Christ, and all that Christ was, he poured into the church to continue the work of the gospel. Then we become not by artificial name, but by a reality of the Holy Spirit of life connecting us into Christ. Then through the power of his resurrection, we are raised from the dead things of the world and sitting with him in heavenly places. Amen. I like that. Tonight, we're sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. See? Resurrected with him, died to the things of the world, and took on Christ. And when we take on Christ, then the world is dead. Then we no more care for the world. The world is dead to us, and is dead to us, and we're dead to it. You're a different person, a different personality, because you are a new creation. A creation, not the same creation polished up, not a man that's turned a new leaf, but a man that's died and been born again and become a new creation in Christ Jesus. And the Spirit of the living God lives in the person. Now, just like the woman that's no more Broy, she's a Branham, and she goes by that name. And the church is no more of the world, but it's in the name of Christ she is. She's connected with Him by His own life. I said other reasons. But see, Amos couldn't reason because he was a prophet. The word come to him. No, the same as the word today. You must interpret it. Let the Holy Spirit interpret it by vindicating it in your life. That's what was said. But you know, Jeremiah said to the prophet Hananiah, he said, when that prophet speaks and what he says is manifested, then the prophets knowed he was right. If Amos was here, what do you think that he would do? He would stay with the word. That's what he would do. You know what? He'd tell us that we've been taught off of the foundation of the original word, or the original word of God. He'd tell us that we're far away from the first Pentecostal church. That's what he'd tell us Pentecostals. He'd say, now, they had almost 50 years to get yourself into gear, and you've never come there yet. Oh, what? What would he say to the denominational personality? Oh, if he wouldn't tear up that churches for their immorals, for accepting creeds, joining the church instead of being born into it. Well, if you're born into it, brother, sister, you act different. You stay with that word. If the Holy Spirit's in you, it only feeds on the word. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word, not part of the word, but every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. He, being a prophet, he would see this thing in us if Amos was a prophet. Notice Brother Brown called the personality of the denomination. See? Brother, sister, if you're born again, you ought to be as Jesus was, to have the personality of God beginning to take over. That's that greatest battle that ever fought. Not you having two personalities, but that life of God that's raising up that new creation in you, having a personality, the body of this death having another, and who's going to win out? Now, if we're real sons, like Jesus was, we say, not my will, Father, but thine be done. See? From questions and answers on the seals, Brother Anthony, now, here's one, and I don't know how to touch it. I got another one just before this one, and then I'm going to ask them to snap the tape just a minute. If God is one personality, why or how could he talk to himself on Mount Transfiguration? Well, I've just explained that, you see. I'd like to ask you this, and I'm going to. When Jesus prayed to the Father, you see, and I believe you have to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, don't you, brother? Now, why don't you stand up just a moment? You claim to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And the brother says, yes. He says, I do too. Then what is that? When I don't claim that I have the powers within myself to unfold these mysteries, I don't have the power to heal the sick, but it's God. I believe you're a minister. If I'm not mistaken, you're from Arkansas. All right, now. And in you, you have is to preach the gospel. Ordinarily, you was raised on a farm and around like that, and you just don't know nothing about it. But something come into you to preach the gospel. You don't claim that to be yourself at all. That's another person called the Holy Ghost. Is that right? Okay. Now, I want to ask you: that Holy Ghost dwells within you. Is that right? Do you talk to Him? Yeah, the message. Yeah. Do you speak to Him? Do you pray to Him? All right. That's all I want. Now, thank you very much. See, so the guy says Sam. Now, do you get it? I'll ask you one. How did it come that when Jesus in St. John 3, he said, when the Son of Man shall be, which now is in heaven, shall come to earth. See? The Son of Man, which now is in heaven, and there he stood right here talking to the person. Now you asked me that one. Jesus and the Father was the self-same person, just the same as the Holy Spirit in me. Now that ought to explain it all right there. Jesus and the Father was the self-same person just as the Holy Spirit in me. Now, wait a minute, Brother Branham. You are not God. Absolutely, he's not. Jesus was not God either. But God dwelt in him. You understand? God was in Christ reconciling the world. Brother Branham said, it's no different. Just the same as means the same thing. I want you to ask you, the Holy Ghost dwells within you, is that right? Okay. Notice, when this he says, Jesus and the Father was the self-same person just the same as the Holy Spirit is in me. He's the self-same person. You're looking to me preaching, but it's not me. It's not me that can speak a word that could bring that could bring, as you know, an animal and sit there and look at it and kill the animal and eat it. That's creative power. Oh, but that was Brother Branham speaking that squirrel. No, it wasn't. It was God through the prophet. See? That doesn't lay in human beings. It's not me that could take a little boy here laying, and the doctor's laying him on his back with heart trouble tonight and say, thus saith William Branham. No. Thus saith the Lord, it's finished. And bring him down to the doctor the next day and it's all gone. A kid with leukemia. So his eyes were bulged out and yellow all over in his stomach, and until they had taken it to the hospital to give it blood and things to even get it there. And in 5 minutes' time, cry for a hamburger and take it back to the doctor the next day and can't even find a trace of it. That's thus saith William Branham. That's thus saith the Lord. Yet he is an individual different from me. But the only way that he's expressed is through me. Notice, he is an individual different from me, but the only way that he's expressed is through me. Isn't that the same with Jesus, the Father and the Son? Two individuals, and yet one was expressed through the other. Let me read that again. Yet he is an individual different from me, but the only way that he's expressed is through me. See? That's how Jesus and the Father was. Jesus said, it's not me that doeth the works, it's my Father that dwelleth in me. Now the Son of Man shall ascend from heaven, which now is in heaven. See? What is it? He was omnipresent because he was God. Who was it in David that said, my hands, my feet, have they pierced? Now, was that David? Do they pierce his hands and feet? Who was speaking out of David? God. You see how the difference in understanding this thoughts on the personality of God? I know that's a tough issue to crack. But the fact is that he wasn't a dual personality. Because he would have been schizo. But there was two, because he was a dual being, there was two personalities involved, but one was Jesus, and one wasn't Jesus. One was the Father that dwelt in him. You see that? Very good. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Your Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word tonight, and we ask that you'd bless it, Lord, and may it help us to further understand the Godhead and the understanding between the Father and the Son, how they could be the same being, as Brother Branham said. He said, I'm a different person from the Father, and yet we're one. Because when I say, thus saith the Lord, it's God actually speaking. And so, Lord, we thank you for this, and we ask that you might help us to understand our part in this, knowing that we had the great presence of your divine presence among us in this day, and yet we know that your life, your very life, is in us. We've seen ourselves, Father, the hands being laid on the sick, and knowing that no man can heal, and yet we've seen cancer go, we've seen gangrene go, we've seen different things happen, then who was that? I know, Father, for certain it wasn't me. And yet I do believe it was you. For you are the healer. You just showing us your attributes, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I don't take any credit, because we've seen it even with the children. I've seen the young children lay hands on the sick and fevers go. What is it? It's that God life that lays in that child, that childlike faith, allowing itself to be expressed through that vessel. And so, Lord, we just commit ourselves. We commit ourselves to Thee and to growing up in Thee. Help us to express Thee, Father, as Your Son did. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brother Duane and Brother Michael, if you would bring up the elements, and Christine, if you'd come up and we'll play a song while we're waiting. Let's just sing that song again, Down From His Glory. I hope we can understand that God acted out the role of a son in His Son. It wasn't Jesus Himself was the Son of God, but God Himself acted out the role of Son. See? Down from His glory, ever living story, my God and Savior came, and Jesus was His name. Born in a manger, to His own a stranger, a man of sorrow, tears, and agony. Flesh and blood, His sum of sins. He took the form of man, revealed God's hidden plan. Oh, glorious mystery, sacrifice of Calvary. And now I know Thou art the great I am. Oh, how I love Him, how I adore Him, my breath, my sunshine, my all in all. In Him. For our communion verse tonight, I'm just going to read one scripture, and that's from Galatians chapter 4, verse 19. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Till Christ be formed in you. It is God's will that we as His seed, His sons and daughters, receive a transformation by the renewing of our mind. The mind must be renewed, and once it's renewed, the transformation takes place and Christ is formed, is morphed into you and I. That'll transform every difference. that'll transform all opposition. You know, if you read on in chapter 4 there, Paul talks about twins and how there's a war between the twins. Both religious, both claiming God, to be believers of God, and yet why is there a warfare? One, he says, is the child of promise, and the other is Mount Sinai, the child by works. There will always be war between those who have been born to a works program, those who are trying to be what they're not, and those who are actually sons and daughters of God because they've truly been born by the Word of God. You can come in, brothers, and I'll just finish up. That warfare has been going on for thousands and thousands of years, beginning with Cain and Abel, actually beginning back when the first creation, Lucifer, battled with the firstborn, Michael, which is Jesus. And it continues on to this hour. I think it's interesting because I know that, you know, people over the years, going back as far as we can, I don't know if we've ever had anybody actually leave this church or Brother Vail's church who said that they left over the Word. It was always over the personality. And yet Brother Brown tells us that right here, we read it tonight, that the personality is going to be the same on the other side. I believe what it is we have a warfare because there's born again versus people born of a work spirit. And there'll always be that warfare. So as we come to know, thus saith the Lord, we should put our confidence in that word. And as we have read over the years, the 15 principles of the bride, which are in this book here, we know that it's a discernment, knowing those that are God's. And if you know those that are God's, birds of a feather, eagles, will flock together. We stay together. Let's just bow our heads now and we'll ask the brothers to bless the elements.